Rhett Miller, thanks for stopping by.
So happy to be here.
Your new album, The Messenger, is actually your eighth as a solo artist. And I wonder, when you're sitting and writing a song, how you decide which ones are for you and which ones maybe make more sense for the band.
The existence of the solo albums was necessitated by my bandmates' orneriness, which is a really integral part of a band's sound. Like, you know, that everyone has a really strong opinion is a big deal in a band. But it also means that I write a lot of songs that they don't cotton to.
Well, it does seem like maybe you're able to write a little bit more specifically about your experience. You have a song on The Messenger called Close Most of the Time, where you write about what you were up to during specific segments of your life.
I had a run from 17 to 25. That was pretty good. I gave up on college life, moved back to the neighborhood.
I've always thought that really specific lyrics are what make songs feel real, you know, like it's happening to a real person. But I wonder how you think about balancing that with what will make these songs feel accessible to people.
The question of universality is paramount, right? You want your songs to be useful to the listeners. You want them to affect them and to feel like it could be about their lives. So then it would seem like anathema to include details about the songwriter's life. But yeah, self-reference can be universal, because what I'm going through, I'm just a human being, and we're all going through the same things. So if the details of what I'm going through can be spun out and applied secondhand to someone else, how cool is that? And how useful is that?
One of my favorites on the new album is a song called I Used to Write in Notebooks.
I used to write in notebooks. I used to read maps. I used to send letters. I used to take naps. But everything changes, and so did I. It's not the same world. I'm not the same guy.
You've written a lot of songs over the years about flaws. This is one that's actually about a person growing. So where did that come from?
I think it had something to do with my own children approaching the age I was when I was at my most, you know, when I was the closest to sort of giving up on life. And so I was watching my kids approach this moment and consequently kind of reliving it. And as they seem to be really navigating it gracefully and in a way that makes me feel hopeful for their survival, you know, it kind of made me have this weird new hope for myself.
You also quit drinking in the last few years, and you're at the same time someone who for 20-something years has been singing these rip-roaring, good-timing songs.
Let's drink whiskey and do it all night long. Let's get drunk and get it on.
What is it like to sing those songs now when you're maybe not in the same mindset as you were then?
What's funny, you talk about the newfound inner peace, and yeah, I'll be 4 years sober around Easter.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It feels a little like time traveling, where I go into these songs, you know, Let's Get Drunk and Get It On, or Stoned, or, I mean, I could literally name dozens and dozens of songs. I feed my kids singing songs about whiskey, you know, and weed, and so it is weird that that's not a part of my life anymore. Obviously, a big part of it was my kids being at this age where they're just, I mean, I think they're always aware, but you can really sense the awareness when they start to enter the double digits in the teenage years. And I just wanted them to know that I was there 100%, you know, and I didn't want to look back on the time I had with them in the same house with them and feel like I wasn't really there.
Well, Rhett Miller, it was great talking to you. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks so much for having me.